Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, and we have some breaking news for you this morning. Russell Wilson has agreed to a four-year, $140 million contract, and he'll get $65 million guaranteed. This is huge. He's going to be making $35 million per year. And he announced it on Twitter in a video. He was laying in bed with Sierra and said, we got a deal. Sierra said, go Hawks. And it's pretty obvious that, you know, everything ended up coming together, and Seattle will retain one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, a guy who's, you know, carried the torch for that organization for such a long time. And, you know, Carroll always kind of liked Russell Wilson because they're both optimists. They both tend to take the high road on a lot of things. And Carroll knew he had to pay somebody, which is kind of different than what he did the last time he won a Super Bowl, you know, because he won a Super Bowl with Wilson by, you know, stacking his defense because he had Wilson on a rookie contract. Now he decides that, you know, keeping Wilson is worth opening up, you know, the checkbook and paying him $35 million a year. Now, you know, it seems like he's staying, you know. They could still trade him. I doubt, you know, they would sign him to trade him, but we just saw in New York the Giants signed Odell Beckham Jr. and then traded him. So it could still happen, but, you know, it looks like all signs are, you know, pointing to Russell Wilson staying with the Seattle Seahawks for at least the next 4 years, and they're going to pay him a lot of money to play some of his best football. And you have to applaud him for the fact that he has worked hard. He has put up big numbers and been a constant for that offense, even when the offensive line at times was just atrocious. And even after Marshawn Lynch left and there wasn't very much help as far as the running backs go. Now, they saw both of those problems last season. The line was better. They had the best running game in all of football last year. So once they took care of those problems, the team, you know, definitely benefited from that. Like I've been saying in the last couple podcasts, they should have made the playoffs last year, getting rid of all those players that they did, you know, Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Jimmy Graham. It's mind-boggling that they made it to the playoffs, to be honest. But, you know, Russell Wilson balled out, gave them a chance, and now he capitalizes on all his efforts, and he'll make a substantial amount of money. More than a substantial amount. He'll make money that, you know, I don't even know what to say. 80% of the world will never see, maybe even higher than that. Maybe 90% of the world will never see that much money. So huge, huge win for Russell Wilson and his family. Congratulations to them. The next thing we're going to talk about is Devin White. You know, Devin White had a really good career with the LSU Tigers, a guy who just handled his business by recording over 125 tackles in each of his last 2 years. Then he runs a 4.42 40-yard dash at the NFL Combine. He's also a player who's good at making plays in the offensive backfield. He had 8.5 sacks and 28.5 TFLs during his career in Baton Rouge. And even though I think the Bucks would be smart to draft Ed Oliver, you know, they just took Vita Vey in last year's draft. And even though the Bucks signed Deion Buchanan this offseason, you know, Buchanan's way too undersized to anchor the middle linebacker position at only 216 pounds. I'm not buying it. He can't do it. And, you know, the team can put him out there and he can try it, but you're just doing your team, you know, a disservice by rolling out a guy that's 260 pounds and asking him to control both A gaps. Instead, you know, I think they should go with White. He's top linebacker available. He won the Dick Butkus Award last year. And, you know, when you look at this guy, there's some things that jump out at you. He's 240 pounds. He can be the backbone of that defense. He's got good sideline to sideline speed and instincts. You know, who wouldn't want to add someone that can come in and be an immediate impact player? However, that doesn't mean White is flawless. And most of these prospects that are coming out, you know, each of these rookies will grow a lot 3 or 4 years from now. And Devin White's weakness is sometimes he likes to wrap up with his arms and then slam the ball carrier to the ground. It would be better if White arrived with some authority by using his shoulder pads to deliver a blow. You know, White did have a good hit against Felipe Franks in the Florida game, but he has to be more consistent. But, you know, the bottom line is there's too many positives to overlook, and the addition of Devin White to the Buccaneers defense could take them from, you know, their 2017th ranking to maybe even 17th in 2019, you know, which will result in a drastic improvement on the field. That can be the difference between winning, you know, two or three more games. It at least gets them much closer to towards their goals of putting together a defense that can be at least be competitive, because I think 2 years ago they had like the worst defense in the league. They might have had the worst defense for two consecutive years. They've been really bad, but I know they were the worst at least once for certain. And then 27th this past year, just not good enough. But, you know, hopefully Vita Vey can be healthy for every game. Jason Pierre-Paul was pretty good in his first year in Tampa Bay. You get Devin White behind those guys, suddenly you have at least three guys, if Vey ever pans out, that can hold it down. Quan Alexander's gone. I don't think Deion Buchanan can fill that spot. Actually, I know he can't. You know, Buchanan can play Will, but even as a Will linebacker, he's a little bit undersized. So to me, it would be best to, you know, you got two choices if I'm the Bucs, either Ed Oliver or Devin White. And I could understand if they went Ed Oliver, but if they feel like they should go somewhere else because they took Vita Vey last year and they are open that he can take the next step and really be what he was at Washington, which was a guy that had great athleticism despite being, what, 350 pounds or however much he weighs. He didn't really show that because he was hurt as a rookie. So maybe they say we'll go Devin White instead. And, you know, that's not a wrong move, because when you look at what White's been able to do, he's been tremendous, won the Buckus Award, put up great numbers, ran a great speed at the combine, you know, 4.42 for 240 pounds. This guy can run, he can hit. Just a good player. And I think he can really help Tampa Bay. The last thing we're going to talk about today is the Green Bay Packers are meeting with Drew Lock, and that means Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay isn't secure. You know, you had to take that headline with a grain of salt, because even if the Packers do make a move and get Drew Lock, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starter for 2019. I don't think they can get out of his contract until 2022. But it definitely wouldn't be good for Aaron Rodgers if the Packers drafted Drew Lock. We've heard all offseason about how Green Bay had problems with Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers, calling the shots. Now it sounds like general manager Brian Gutekunst is considering life after Aaron Rodgers just 4 months after firing McCarthy. This shouldn't be that surprising because Rodgers is already 35 years old, but we're so used to seeing him dominate on the field that it does kind of catch you off guard. Quarterback seems like the last position the Packers should be addressing. If they trade up in the first round to pick Lock, it will hurt Green Bay's odds of winning the NFC North, mainly because Lock would have to sit behind Rodgers and would be a wasted player until he cracks the starting lineup. Instead, the Packers should be thinking about taking Montez Sweat, Jonah Williams, or DK Metcalf, depending on who's available at the time, which is clearly the better move for this team in 2019. But Gutekunst is already looking past the Rodgers era. The irony is Rodgers was on the other end of it when Green Bay drafted him to eventually replace Brett Favre. It's crazy to think most of Rodgers' career is already behind him, but it's been an exciting run up to this point. Rodgers has one Super Bowl victory along with two MVP awards and seven Pro Bowls. He's also got the highest quarterback rating in NFL history, so Locke could end up waiting 3 years before stepping on the field, just like Rodgers did with Favre. Truthfully, this is probably a warning shot by the front office that Rodgers will be held accountable if he doesn't produce a winning record. Either way, it's not a good sign for the veteran quarterback, and the Packers can get out of Rodgers' contract in 2022, saving $50 million in the process. So, Aaron Rodgers, one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league, has the highest quarterback rating in NFL history, and it's looking more and more like the higher ups of the Packers organization are preparing for the future and preparing for life after Aaron Rodgers. Now, it feels too soon because we're used to Rodgers dominating on the field. I get that team is starting to fall behind in the NFC North, but Aaron Rodgers isn't the problem. The problem is the Packers' offensive line gave up a ton of sacks. The problem is last year, the outside linebackers on defense, Clay Matthews, who's been a star for that team, wasn't good enough. The other outside linebacker, I think it was Nick Perry, he wasn't good enough. So they get Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith to bolster the defense, and that's going to help a little bit. But you can put Za'Darius Smith at defense end, you could draft Montez Sweat and put him at the other outside linebacker and go Preston Smith and Montez Sweat at the outside linebacker positions, and then have Kenny Clark, I think Mike Daniels, and Za'Darius Smith down on the D line. So that defense is going to be better at least. But Montez Sweat, would be a good first round pick. If not him, Jonah Williams, because the Packers gave up way too many sacks last year. So Jonah Williams could help and keep that pass rush away from Aaron Rodgers a little bit. The other option would be, going DK Metcalf and giving Aaron Rodgers another top tier weapon out wide, because a lot of times Rodgers is taking guys that weren't, first round talents and, turn them into big time players. He's never had a draft pick that has just been leaps and bounds better than everybody else at, catching the football. Devontae Adams is good. He's been outstanding, but I'm pretty sure he was a second or a third rounder. So it'd be nice to see Aaron Rodgers get like a DK Metcalf and AJ Brown or some other first round talent. Hopefully, something happens. I'm John Kuzma. That's all I have today. Check out endzoneblog.com. I appreciate it. check out our Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. Thank you. Have a great day. I'm signing off.